On this 23rd day of February 2011 in San Diego, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we are in Chapter 18, The Perfection of Enunciation, text number 72. Kacchit etat chutam partha.
Kacchit etat chutam partha.
Dvayai kagrina chetasa. Kacchit agyana sammoha. Pranashtaste dhananjaya. O son of Prita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Purport. The Lord was acting as the spiritual master of Arjuna. Therefore, it was his duty to inquire from Arjuna whether he understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in its proper perspective. If not, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point or the whole Bhagavad Gita, if so required. Actually, anyone who hears the Bhagavad Gita from a bona fide spiritual master like Krishna or his representative will find that all his ignorance is dispelled. The Bhagavad Gita is not an ordinary book written by a poet or a fiction writer. It is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any person fortunate enough to hear these teachings from Krishna or from his bona fide spiritual representative is sure to become a liberated person and get out of the darkness of ignorance. Om Gyanatamarandasya Gyanandana Shalakya Chakshu Unmilitam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes. With the torchlight of knowledge, I offer my humble obeisance unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So, there's several things, important things happening in this verse. The first is the concern of the spiritual master, in this case Krishna, that his student or disciple has heard and understood the lesson. It's not simply some academic presentation. This is a life and death exchange that's going on. The fate of the world hangs in the balance, whether Arjuna will fight or not. And Arjuna represents every living entity who has fallen into illusion. And Krishna, as the original guru, he's concerned that we become enlightened. After all, he claims us as his children. Aham bija pradak pita. That relationship is never broken. We can forget it, but Krishna never forgets it. So he has this great concern that Arjuna has understood. Now, what's the first statement? Eka agrena, with full attention. This is a essential part of the listening process. You remember we had this word, I think it was here also. Shushusho, maybe it was in the morning class. But in the... No, we had it here. But where was it in the verse?
It was
67. 67. Oh, there it is. Right. Nashashushushave vacham. Those who do not hear in this very attentive way, who are not hearing with this... You remember this word, shushushro? There was one verse that I didn't get to cite in relationship to this word. Yesterday we mentioned... the first canon, first chapter, second verse, in which it is said that one who listens with this attitude of attentive, submissive hearing, probably called the submissive oral reception, will have the Lord realized in his heart very quickly. That's the second verse of the Bhagavatam. Later on in that canto, the second chapter, there's a description of how one attains an affinity for hearing. And it's described, Shushushro Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Kataru Chi Syan Mahatseva Vipra Punyati Atanashevana. That this hearing, Shushushro, of the spiritual master, Mahatseva, the Mahat or Mahatma, who is a very walking Tirtha, then by hearing submissively and serving, Vasudeva Kataru Chi Syan Mahatseva. One performs service in this way, then one will get the taste for hearing and chanting. And you remember this taste, this attraction for the message of Godhead, as Prabhupada says, is the first qualification for going back to Godhead, is this attraction for the message of Godhead. Because Krishna is non-different from the sound vibration. These words that he's speaking here, Krishna is present in these words of the Gita. He's present in his holy name. He's present in the words of the Acharya, which are non-different from the message of the Vedas. So if we have an attraction for the words, we have an attraction for Krishna. That's the idea. So this ekagrina chaitasa, with full attention with the mind. Because really, this is such a key element. We often forget that this process of bhakti is a yoga process. It's bhakti yoga. And yoga always involves control of the mind and control of the senses. This is really, it says in the Bhagavatam, and I forget exactly where, that by too much engagement in sense gratification or cultivating the mode of ignorance, one can lose one's ability to concentrate the mind. And we see that. What is all this attention deficit disorder going on? You know, everyone is splayed out. You know, there's this and there's that and then there's the drugs and this and that. And the ability to concentrate is key for achieving any goal in this world. What to speak of understanding this very esoteric knowledge. So this one-pointed attention is the first thing that he asks. And by that one-pointed attention to my message, has your ignorance and illusion been completely destroyed? The Prakrishna Rupena, Prabhupada quote. This prefix means completely. Nashta means destroyed, pranashta means completely destroyed. So this is meant to be the effect of hearing the Bhagavad Gita, is that you become enlightened just by hearing the Gita, you know, in this way. And as Prabhupada says, Krishna was ready to repeat the whole message, or any part of it. This is the exchange of a genuine spiritual master, who could be more genuine than Krishna himself, and a genuine disciple. The disciple is eager to understand and ask questions, and the spiritual master is eager that the disciple understand and is ready to answer the questions and explain it exhaustively. And we saw that with Srila Prabhupada when he first got an audience. You know, if you look at the history of Prabhupada's preaching endeavor, you know, he worked so hard in India to start the movement. What did he call it? What was the thing? Jhansi? The League of Devotees, which actually was the forerunner of ISKCON. You know, he had many of the same principles and same idea. But he couldn't get any foothold there. And so he had this, you know, this inspiration from his guru, from Krishna himself, to come to America, you know. And even there, for a whole year, he had various places that he was trying to teach, but it wasn't his place uptown. You know, it was some other yogi's place. And then he couldn't find really much foothold. He found some, but you know, it was tough going. And then finally, he gets his own place at 26 Second Avenue. And then there's an audience, you know. And it describes how Prabhupada, you could go up to see Prabhupada, and he would speak to you for hours, you know. And practically, till he was taking rest, he would be lying down and preaching and putting himself. He was so eager to get this message across. He didn't know how much time he had, you know. So this is the symptom of someone who's truly on fire, who's enlivened and enlightened, you know, with the preaching spirit from Krishna. So Krishna also wants us to understand, and he directs this toward Arjuna, but it's also toward us. Have we understood the message of Bhagavad Gita? Is our ignorance and illusion now destroyed? And if so, then we'll prove it by acting as Arjuna did. Not that we fight a battle on the battlefield, but that we surrender, as mentioned in the 66th verse here. That you actually surrender to Krishna and you entrain your activities in the process of devotional service. Okay, any questions on this verse or discussion? This is actually... those are Krishna's last words that he speaks. Okay, next verse. Arjun says, Arjuna vacha nashto moha smitir labdha kvat pasaran mayachuta stitosmi gata sandeha kadishi vachanam tava. Arjun said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and am prepared to act according to your instructions. Excuse me. The constitutional position of a living entity, represented by Arjuna, is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. He is meant for self-discipline, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the actual position of the living entity is that of eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. Forgetting this principle, the living entity becomes conditioned by material nature, but in serving the Supreme Lord, he becomes the liberated servant of God. The living entity's constitutional position is to be a servitor. He has to serve either the illusory Maya or the Supreme Lord. If he serves the Supreme Lord, he is in his normal condition. But if he prefers to serve the illusory external energy, then certainly he will be in bondage. In illusion, the living entity is serving in this material world. He is bound by his lust and desires, yet he thinks of himself as the master of the world. This is called illusion. When a person is liberated, his illusion is over, and he voluntarily surrenders under the Supreme to act according to his desires. The last illusion, the last snare of Maya to trap the living entity, is the proposition that he is God. The living entity thinks that he is no longer a conditioned soul, but God. He is so unintelligent that he does not think that if he were God, then how could he be in doubt? That he does not consider. So that is the last snare of illusion. Actually, to become free from the illusory energy is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and agree to act according to his order. The word moha is very important in this verse. Moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. Actually, real knowledge is the understanding that every living being is eternally a servitor of the Lord. But instead of thinking oneself in that position, the living entity thinks that he is not a servant, that he is the master of this material world, for he wants to lord it over the material nature. That is his illusion. This illusion can be overcome by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of a pure devotee. When that illusion is over, one agrees to act in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of matter, does not know that the Supreme Lord is the master who is full of knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever he, Krishna, desires, he can bestow upon his devotees. He is the friend of everyone, and he is especially inclined to his devotee. He is the controller of this material nature and of all living entities. He is also the controller of inexhaustible time, and he is full of all opulence and all potencies. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can even give himself to the devotee. One who does not know him is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee, but a servitor of Maya. Arjuna, however, after hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became free from illusion. He could understand that Krishna was not only his friend, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understood Krishna factually. So, to study the Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. When a person is in full knowledge, he naturally surrenders to Krishna. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, he agreed to fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took up his weapons, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of God. So this verse is very famous, because this verse represents the mood of someone who has really understood the Bhagavad Gita. You can't say you understand the Gita unless you come to the conclusion of the Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is what we call very normative. I used to study ethics. Normative is what the concept of should. That there is a moral structure to you, and you feel that, yes, there's things I should do and things I should not do. So there's so many shoulds within the Bhagavad Gita. It's not just an academic study. It's not just some philosophical, fluff. It's a book that enjoins you to do something, to change the whole character of your life, the whole direction of your life. It's like either or. There was a philosopher called Kierkegaard who had this book called Either Or. He was a serious Christian, you know. But there really is this either or. Either you're going to serve Maya or you're going to serve Krishna. You know, this is what Prabhupada is saying here, and it's said throughout the books. So at present, the illusion of Maya is that you don't know you're in illusion. You don't even know that there is another way of acting and thinking. Or you think that the variety that's presented by Maya is the only choice that there is. Is it going to be the Ford or is it going to be the Chevrolet? Is it going to be the red coat or is it going to be the green coat? Is it going to be this girl or this girl? This guy or this? This is what you think is the choice. But this is the delusion of duality in the material world. In other words, that's no choice at all. That's all within the realm of the material energy. So the books of Krishna consciousness, Krishna himself, he opens up this whole other vision of the other world. So that the choice is not just this or that within the material world, but it's the material world or the spiritual world. That's the real choice. It's Krishna or Maya. So this is the key statement. Nashto moha. My illusion has been destroyed by your words, Krishna. And I've regained my memory. Now this is an important concept, is that we originally are fully enlightened. We've lost that enlightenment some millions of eons ago, millions of births ago. You can't even trace it out. And that's why we're known as Nityabaddha, eternally bound up and eternally illusioned. It might as well be eternal because it's millions of lifetimes of Brahma who lives 311 trillion 40 billion years. So you do the math. It might as well be. So we've been here a long, long, long time. But our illusion can be destroyed in one lifetime or even one moment if we accept the words of Krishna. And so Arjuna has accepted those words. He's a model for us. I've regained my memory. In other words, now I know that my real identity and therefore my real duty is to act as your servant. Not as a servant of my whims and desires, however important they seem to be. So I've attained my memory by your grace, Tratprasada. This is the real attitude of the genuine disciple. Just like we chant that verse at the beginning of the class. Om Agyana Tamarandasya. You know, I was born in the darkness of ignorance. I'm blinded. Andha means blind. Gyanandana Shalakaya. But the spiritual master, Guruve, Guru, has pried open my eyes with this instrument known as Gyan, and applied the ointment called the Gyana Anjana to the eyes. You know, in other words, we're trying to keep our eyes shut. We don't want to know the truth. You know, but the spiritual master comes, and if we're receptive enough, with strong words, he opens our eyes. Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam. Open the eyes to the truth. Atasmai Shri Gurave Namah. I offer my obeisance to such a spiritual master. So that attitude is being reflected here. By your grace, Krishna, by your taking the time and caring enough to give me this knowledge, my illusion is destroyed, I've regained my memory, and I'm stitosmi, I'm situated in my natural position, and my doubts are all gone. Gata sandeha. Because really, you know, it's the doubts that are plaguing us. You know, doubt is the exact opposite of faith, when you think about it, right? Faith is full confidence. The definition of faith given by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is Shraddha Shabde Vishras Kohi Sudhan Nishtoy Krishna Bhakti Koli Savakarma Katahoi. Shraddha Shabde Vishras Kohi is a firm conviction. Sudhridha, very strong, that what? Krishna Bhakti Koyale Sarvakarma Katahoi. That just the activities of bhakti, of devotional service toward Krishna, will completely fulfill all my needs and desires and aspirations. You think about it, that's a tall order to come to that state of faith. It's not easy. So we have so many hedges, so many doubts. Will Krishna really provide? Will he really protect? Will he really empower me to follow this process? This is another trick of Maya. Yes, I know that I accept the philosophy, but I'm just not strong enough. There's no way I can do all of this. Maybe in another birth. I'll do a little service this time, and then the next birth I'll do some more. You know? But this is a sign of lack of faith. If Krishna is all-powerful, he can empower anyone to become a devotee. Right? Even animals, you know, of course Hanuman was a great devotee, but the whole army of monkeys became devotees of Ram. Right? And in Krishna's Leela, you know, there are the cows are empowered, they're perfect servants of his. And there's so many unqualified people or unqualified entities, like, you know, Narada Muni and the hunter is a nice example. The hunter is, you know, a low occupation, and this particular hunter was trained to half kill animals you know, and then come back and collect them. They were still fresh. You know, kind of really ghastly, you know, occupation. So Narada Muni meets his hunter, and in being a compassionate Vaishnav, he's seeing these half-killed animals squirming and you know, in torment, and he's very upset about it, and he finally sees the hunter. He says, "Is this your work?" He says, "Yes. This is the way my father trained me." He said, "Look, I have one request. You can be a hunter, but just kill them outright. Don't let them, you know, squirm like this." And so the hunter says, this is what our profession. So Narada Muni, he shows them, through his mystic power, these animals are waiting for this hunter to, after death, to torment them, you know. So the hunter says, "Oh, you know, how can I be relieved of this torment? Break the ball." "Oh, I don't know. I break my bow, how will I have any livelihood?" So this is, "You break the bow and I'll take care of your livelihood." So he has the faith, you know, the key element here is breaking the bow. The key element here is Arjun picks up the bow, you know, and is ready to fight. So he breaks his bow and he surrenders and says, "You just chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you know, you go off and you shave your head, you become, you know, pure Vaishnav, I will provide all your needs." So he does that with his wife, becomes a Pukka Vaishnav, you know, and his wife, and he's just basically doing simple work and chanting. And people are coming and offering bags of rice and everything, you know, because suddenly there's a great Vaishnav. Anyway, the idea is that Krishna consciousness can uplift anyone. And when we have a lack of faith that we can do it, it's a lack of faith in Krishna. Krishna can empower anyone to practice this, provided we're sincere. So, Sitasmi gata sandaya, and then the key words. This is the, you know, kadishe vachanantava. I will do as you say. If we can just approach Krishna and say kadishe vachanantava, that's the perfection of our lives. I will do as you say. Well, he said a lot of things here. You know, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmaneva manatushta sita pragyasya dochade. You have to completely give up all material desires that arise from the mind, and be situated in, you know, fixed devotional service. And there's a lot of, you know, injunctions here, but the main injunction is to become his servant, and there are so many things to do in his servant. You know, this is what the great blessing of this institution is that it there's a wealth of service available, genuine service, bona fide authorized service to Krishna, his pure devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything. That's given out freely by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, you can't find it everywhere. You may go, you know, throughout this country or throughout the world, and where are you going to be able to find that service if you don't have knowledge of how to, you know, and if there's no institution? So we can also adopt this attitude of Arjun. Try to come to this platform of regaining our memory. Destroying our illusion, recognizing Krishna's grace, and being willing to act in Krishna's service. Okay, any discussion on this important verse and purport? The main theme of the purport here is that we have to serve. We are eternal servants. Either we're going to serve the illusory energy, which makes us think that we're the masters, which we're not, or we're going to serve Krishna consciously, you know, and understand our real position as eternal servants of God. And once we agree to serve Krishna, we're free, we become freed from the thrall of Maya. And the first installment of that is that there's nothing you want from Maya anymore. You know, she allures you to want this, want that, want this. And even at the end of life, when you can't enjoy anything, the desires are all still there. You know, "Oh, if I could only do this, I used to do this, I can't do this anymore." You know, most old people, you know, they're just reminiscing, going through the photo albums or now the videos, whatever they have. You know, "Oh, yes, I used to do that, I used to do that. I remember my parents, you know." Well, are you preparing your next life? You know, get another chance. But the devotee, up to the moment of death, you're still, you know, actively serving Krishna. Because it doesn't ultimately depend on these senses. It depends on your state of consciousness. Okay, it's all internal now. But still, Krishna's there. You know, the gopis are there. The whole field is there. Everything is there. Provided you don't lament for things you can't do anymore, or have this ardent desire that's unfulfilled in the material world. So, you know, that's what it means to be freed from Maya. from illusion. There's nothing there that she can offer you, because you're filled up with Krishna. That's, you know, it's like this nice verse from this came to my mind. Gajendra, the elephant, he has these beautiful prayers, you know. So again, come to, you know, he talked about ekantino, trayakagrena, right? Eka, this one point of attention. So he says, ekantino yasya nakanchanartam vanchantiye vai bhagavat papanna atyadbutam tat charitam sumangalam gayanta ananta samudra mugna. It's a great verse. So he's saying, ekantino, one who is fixed, on Krishna, and doesn't want anything from Maya. Doesn't have any other desire. Na kanchanatam banchanti, such a surrendered soul, Bhagavat Prapanna, when such a soul hears the extremely wonderful pastimes of the Lord, ati adbutam tat charitam sumangalam, which are very auspicious to hear, then what is it? Tat yadbutam tat charitam sumangayantam. Is singing them, ananda samudramanda. He dives into an ocean of ananda. Just singing the pastimes, you know. So if we can come to the first part of that verse, then we can dive in. And when can you not sing? You know, you may have to sing internally at one point, but basically you can always chant. You see, this is what the great. What did we sing? You know, we should study this Goswami Ashtaka. It's great about the six Goswamis. It's in the songbook. You know, these are our great acharyas, exemplars. Yes, of course, they're beyond what we can imagine, but we should strive for that. And what are they doing? You know, this great verse Prabhupada quote all the time. Gopi bhavana samatabdha hari kallola magno muhur vande rupa sanatana nagya goshi jiva gopalakam. So I worship the six Goswamis, namely Rupan Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Jiva Goswami, who, at least three or four of them, you know, were very, very wealthy, said, Chakva Tunam. You remember the word Tunam? Quickly, without delay. Ashesha Mandalapati, Shreini Sadat Tuchavat. They gave up this circle of aristocracy and wealth that Sanatana and Rupa were enjoying as part of the royal kingdom in Bengal. So, Turnam Ashesha Mandala, endless Mandala Pati Shreini Sadat Tuchavat, as very insignificant. And Budva Dina Ganeshiko, this word Dina means for the fallen souls, the wretched of the earth. They became the protectors, in other words, the instructors and the exemplars. Kaduneya, out of their mercy for us. And Kopina Kuntashita, they took on the most humble clothes, you know, can imagine, just a little loincloth, fixed residence even, you know. So they came from the highest material platform down to the lowest, you can imagine, materially. But were they morose? You know, if a materialist loses everything, he can't stand it. If you're born poor and somehow you eke out a living, you can take it. But if you win the lottery and then lose the ticket, forget it. You know, you might as well jump in the river, right? Or if you know what I'm saying? So they were wealthy, but and they became voluntarily poor, but they were the richest. So the third line, Gopi Bhavara Samratabda Lahari Kalola Bagnomo. So again and again, they're diving and drinking the ocean of the ananda, the bliss of the gopis' love for Krishna. Gopi Bhavara Samrita, you know, the nectar of their relationship. Amrita Kalola Magnamur. You know. So this is what they're doing at every moment. Materially, you can, even if you're a multi-billionaire, you can only enjoy so much. You know. You can't enjoy it every moment. There's a lot of anxiety to go with those billions, you know. Especially if you stole them. And anyone who has multi-billions, they must have stolen, you know. They must have climbed up on, you know, so many other people's backs and heads, right? So how happy can you be? This Mubarak guy, some say, has $70 to $80 billion. Is he a happy guy? He's like the most miserable guy in the world. Who needs it, you know? So, but if you're full with love for Krishna and you can taste this nectar at every moment, then you're really happy, you know. So it's nice to read these things, you know. One of them that I love to hear, to think about, is the second one, where it describes Shri Gauranga Gunana Vana Navato Sadhana. Is that it? Yeah. They're very expert in describing Lord Chaitanya, and they're full of faith, Shraddhasam Riddhyanvito. And then the second line there, Papo Tapana Krintano Tanubhutam Govinda Ganamritai. Right? So Papo Tapana Krintano means they're cutting off or relieving the people who are suffering greatly due to their severe sins. Papa utapa means really burning suffering due to the papa, the sin. But in the Krintano, how are they doing that? Govinda Ganamritai. By pouring down wonderful nectarian songs about Govinda. So this is, you know, they're giving us this gift. Like Rupa Goswami, I have a special affinity because I you know, became familiar with his Stavamala early on, back, you know, 1978. And it was just, you know, these wonderful songs. I'll just give you a sample, you know. And these are, let's see. So he says, Tava jayati nanda nandana padada vindoda bhakta makadanda jayan marudhi lavagre mukti sukham shukti thamiti. So what he says there, he's glorifying. Tava jayati nanda nandana padada vindoda bhakta makadanda. All glories to the makaranda. Makaranda is the juice of flowers, the nectar of flowers. Tava jayati nandana, O Nanda, the beloved son of Nanda, Tava jayati nandana padada vindodu bhakti, intense bhakti to your lotus feet, produces these drops of makaranda, the nectar. It's a consistent metaphor, because you have these lotus feet. Now, if one serves them with deep devotion, then you can taste, you know, the nectar of that lotus of the feet. So he says, oh, all glories to this. Jiyan Maruli Lavagre, even just a drop of this nectar of service to your lotus feet makes the so-called nectar of liberation seem as insignificant as an oyster in the ocean or something like that. You know? This is one verse. But I mean, it goes on and on. You know, beautiful constructions like that, that you can completely enthrall the mind. And these are the ganamritai. These are the nectarian songs that they're pouring down to relieve the suffering, and not just relieve the suffering, but give us so much positive nectar. So this is, you know, Arjun here is of course about to embark on a serious mission here. He's going to fight. That's what his duty is. And we also have our serious mission, but the end point of that whole serious mission. And, you know, the activities of Krishna consciousness is ultimately diving into this ocean of Ananda. And really, this is what attracts people to Krishna consciousness. When devotees are enthusiastic because they're tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness and they're giving this knowledge out freely, this is what is attracting. You cannot find it out there, right? It's not there in the material world. No one can, you know, these words were written almost, you know, 45 years ago, 1967 or so. They're as fresh, you know, Prabhupada's words, to speak of Krishna's, they're as fresh as yesterday. Is there one word in this purport that's not pertinent to us today? No, this is eternal knowledge, ever fresh. Whereas, you know, what else was written in 1967? So many newspapers and novels, completely forgotten, becoming stale, you know, dated, you know, saturated with the modes of nature. Okay, I've gone a little far afield. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. A
perfect example about the happiness that the other people out there see is today at the farmer's market in Ocean Beach. I was there and I was preaching, right, talking and distributing books, and this the girl I was talking to, she said, yeah, you look so happy, you know, I want to be like that. And I was like, yeah, you know, I was telling her everything.
Yes, Chan Hare Krishna, be happy. This is exactly how this movement, huh?
Because if you give her the books, you read this book, become happy.
Yeah, of course. This is how this movement has spread. Srila Prabhupada's enthusiasm, his joy, his ananda was infectious. And those who were a little open to it and were willing to inquire, well, how do I do it, you know, then they can also become happy. Krishna is always overflowing with bliss. You know, he's the reservoir of pleasure. And this is our birthright. When he says, labdha smriti, you know, that's one of the words that he uses here. you know, regain your memory, regain your actual nature as Anandamaya Vyasa, fully happy and fully joyful. You know, I like to sometimes give, you know, my own life as an example. I'm not taking any drugs, you know, prescription or anything else for 40 years, you know. And I don't need a drug to get to sleep. I don't need a drug to, you know, lift my mood or nothing, you know. Who needs that? Krishna, you know, the holy name is fully intoxicating. It's fully, it's a fact. It's, you know, it works. But you have to be willing to, you know, follow and to be strict with yourself. Otherwise, you can slow the process. You can't stop it, but you can slow it. All right, let's go on. So now Sanjay speaks. Now he finishes this, the Bhagavad Gita. There's a few more verses here. And he's kind of a wonderful climax here. How wonderful it is. Sanjaya vacha.
Sanjaya vacha.
Ityaham vasudevasya.
Ityaham vasudevasya.
Partasya cha mahatmanah.
Partasya cha mahatmanah.
Sambaram imam ashrausham.
Sambaram imam ashrausham.
Adbhutam romaharshanam.
Adbhutam romaharshanam.
Sanjay said, thus have I heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. Excuse me. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Dhritarashtra inquired from his secretary Sanjay, what happened on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? The entire study was related to the heart of Sanjay by the grace of his spiritual master Vyas. He thus explained the theme of the battlefield. The conversation was wonderful because such an important conversation between two great souls had never taken place before and would not take place again. It was wonderful because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was speaking about himself and his energies to the living entity, Arjuna, a great devotee of the Lord. If we follow in the footsteps of Arjuna to understand Krishna, then our life will be happy and successful. Sanjay realized this, and as he began to understand it, he related the conversation to Dhritarashtra. Now it is concluded that wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is victory. So before we continue here, it's interesting that, you know, this is a, because we talked about this shushusho mood, this, you know, so Arjuna obviously had it. He was one-pointed, it had its effect, it destroyed his illusion. But now this entire thing was related to Dhritarashtra. But Dhritarashtra wasn't able to take it up, right? The history was, as we get from the Bhagavatam, that the whole battle took place. Dhritarashtra was old. He didn't fight in the battle. All of his sons were killed, right? And it was another disaster materially for him, you know. And yet at the end there, you know, he, being the elder, he was taken in by Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira was, you know, a very pious king. His dharma personified. So Dhritarashtra is the senior, and he was one of the few seniors left, and so he took him into the house, you know. And he's living there, really in a very kind of, shameful way. So what happens is that after some time, Vidura comes back. Vidura is the saintly brother, you know, he was the third brother, Pandu and Dhritarashtra and Vidura. And he'd been on pilgrimage, he'd become enlightened, you know, he had met Maitreya. And Uddhava also at first. So he comes back, and he just comes back in order to help Dhritarashtra. And he tells him, get out of the house. You know, you're about to die, your liver is weak, you know. Can't you see that you're living on the scraps of Bhima, you know, who killed all 100 of your sons? You know, so it's very shameful. And Dhritarashtra wakes up from this. He takes it, you know, the knowledge, and he leaves home, and he achieves some kind of perfection, meditation in the forest, you know. He's exalted. Whether he goes back to God, it is not exactly clear. But the interesting thing here is that although he also heard it, he didn't hear it with that one-pointed attention. There was a static in there. He didn't want to hear it because it meant that his sons would be killed and he would be defeated. You see that? So it's interesting. Everyone hears according to his own ability. And that's why the quality of the hearing is so important. When this book is meant for devotees, devotees means they're eager to hear the words of Krishna. They relish the words of Krishna. It's pure nectar. You know, in the beginning, very beginning of this book, before the Gita, we have in the introduction, you know, some verses from the Gita Mahatmya. And one of these I always like to recall. Unfortunately, Sarva Panishado Gavo Dogda Gopalanandana Parto Vatsa Sudhir Bokta Dugdam Gita Mitamahat. That actually what this says is the whole Upanishads are like a big cow. And the milker of that cow is Gopal, Krishna, right? Govinda. And the calf is Parta, is Arjun. And but the calves don't eat, drink all the milk, right? They leave so much milk for us. So Sudhir Bokta, those who are Sudhir, who are intelligent, calm, they will enjoy the leftover milk. Like just like we do from a cow. In other words, they will also drink the Gita. That's also being spread. So that's just what Gita Amritam. It's nectar. This Bhagavad Gita. But to really experience it as nectar, you have to be a devotee. You know, you have to be in a devotional mood, and you have to relish this instruction of Krishna, which after all strengthens your devotional mood. It confirms it. You know, we need to be confirmed daily in our devotion, especially in our sadhana stage, because the modes of nature are right there, ready to grab us, ready to cover us as soon as we weaken our devotion. So that's why Prabhupada always had regular morning and evening classes, regular artik, discipline, chanting, regular time, regulation of eating, sleeping, everything, so that you're able to get some spiritual strength and standing, and then all of this in the Bhagavatam, everything becomes this pure nectar. It just enlivens the soul so much. So this is what Sanjay is experiencing. He's a devotee, and he's explaining how he's experiencing this Bhagavad Gita. Okay, one more. Vyasa prasada chutavan. Etad guyam maham param. Yogam yogeshwarat krishnat. Sakshat katayatak swayam. By the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. Purport. Vyas was the spiritual master of Sanjay, and Sanjay admits that it was by Vyas's mercy that he could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one has to understand Krishna not directly, but through the medium of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of the disciplic succession. This is kind of a oneness in, chinta beta beta. There's a medium, but still the experience is direct. When the spiritual master is bona fide, then one can hear the Bhagavad Gita directly as Arjuna heard it. There are many mystics and yogis all over the world, but Krishna is the master of all yoga systems. Krishna's instruction is explicitly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, surrender unto Krishna. One who does so is the topmost yogi. This is confirmed in the last verse of the sixth chapter, Yoginam Abhisarvesham. Narada is the direct disciple of Krishna and the spiritual master of Vyas. Therefore, Vyas is as bona fide as Arjuna because he comes in the disciplic succession. And Sanjay is the direct disciple of Vyas. Therefore, by the grace of Vyas, Sanjay's senses were purified, and he could see and hear Krishna directly. One who directly hears Krishna can understand this confidential knowledge. If one does not come to the disciplic succession, he cannot hear Krishna. Therefore, his knowledge is always imperfect, at least as far as understanding the Bhagavad Gita is concerned. In the Bhagavad Gita, all the yoga systems, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga, are explained. Krishna is the master of all such mysticism. It is to be understood, however, that as Arjuna was fortunate enough to understand Krishna directly, so by the grace of Vyas, Sanjay was also able to hear Krishna directly. Actually, there is no difference between hearing directly from Krishna and hearing directly from Krishna via a bona fide spiritual master like Vyas. The spiritual master is the representative of Vyasadeva also. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, on the birthday of the spiritual master, the disciples conduct the ceremony called Vyasa Puja. So, it kind of takes your breath away when you actually realize what's going on here. I mean, in some religions, the idea that you can hear God directly is practically blasphemy. God cannot be seen, he cannot be heard, the name of God is forbidden, G hyphen D or whatever. But that's again, a sign of lack of faith in the Lord. If Krishna, God, is all-powerful, He's omnipotent, and He's all-merciful, then why wouldn't He make Himself accessible? You know, that He'd keep Him secret all the time, so you have to keep guessing? The whole idea is that He makes Himself completely, explicitly clear here. There's really no doubt, you know, in the Sanskrit, in the words here. You know, sarva dharma paricharya mame kanchananam vraja. I'll give you again, you know. Abandon all religions and surrender only unto me. Your sins I'll nullify completely. From anxiety be free. I put it in English, but it's the same words as Krishna. So, abandon all other religions means all those religions which fall short of really revealing the absolute truth, which are there simply as a compromise. You know, some materialistic business is going on. You know, there's all kinds of dharmas. You can make up your own dharma, you know, and get some fools to follow it. And all you need is a little charisma and a nice website. And somebody will send you money, you know, but whatever you can give them is actually coming from Krishna. This is what he says about in the seventh chapter. He says that. He says, Kamais taista rita gyana papandim te anya devata. Is that those whose knowledge has been really stolen away by material desire, they worship other devas besides me. You know, now he's speaking in the context of the Vedic culture, so you make your own list, you know. Tamtam niyama mastayak pakataniya taksvaya. They're controlled by their own natures, by the modes of nature, and so they follow a certain rules and regulations. It can go, you know, it can be a whole tradition of that following. So then he says, yo yanyam tanam bhakta shraddayajita vichati. That whatever and whoever you want to worship, then, you know, if you have some faith, you desire to worship with bhakti, so-called bhakti, I'll make your faith strong. It's coming from within the heart. Okay, you really want to worship this tree as the absolute? In Africa somewhere, you know, they worship a totem of some kind. Okay, you have some culture build up about it, you know, write a book about it. And you worship. And, you know, the whole tradition of worship. And who knows? Sometimes, you know, maybe the rain falls after you worship. Ah, just see, the God is kind. Right? So he says, Andavattu palam tesham, tadnavalti abamedesham, devan david yadbhaktaman yadimamani. Whatever fruits you get, they're actually given by me. Right? There's a verse I missed in there somewhere. But so with that faith, you worship that God, goddess, whatever it is, and you'll get some fruit, you know, and whatever fruit you get, you should know it's coming from me, you know. And whatever it is, material, it's temporary. So you have to be pretty stupid. Alpamedasham means little brain substance. To worship this temporary God or goddess for some temporary benefit, when... And you'll go to that place, you know, where you just worship me and you come to me. And you get everything. Eternal life, eternal happiness, you know, beyond. In other words, this is as plain as day. So, that's what we've been given by the grace of Krishna. We're running out of time here. So just to run through quickly. By the grace of the Guru, this is the whole point. Vyas Prasada Chudavan, I've heard this secret, this confidential knowledge. It's confidential because not everyone can understand it. Only if you have the grace of Krishna can you understand it. But for the devotees, it's plain as day. It's very simple, actually. And Krishna, who is the greatest yogi, in other words, we're meant to be yogis in this lifetime. We're meant to solve the problems of life, which can only be done through yoga. And the master of all yoga is Krishna. And the end of all yoga, he gives in the 6th chapter, is to always think of me within the heart. And he gives right here in the 18th chapter, give up all these other dharmas, all these other yogas, just do this one thing, surrender unto me by, think of me, become devoted, worship me, and bow down low, you'll come to me, O friend, I promise you, this boon I shall bestow. That's the most confidential knowledge of all the Vedas. It's all concentrated there. So now Sanjay is praising this knowledge he's received from Krishna. And we'll wind up this chapter on Monday. Thank you for your attention.
Question here, you know, in distributed section we say Krishna will get Gautama Mukha. So we say if the Brahma comes after Krishna and then Narada comes. Here we should rule by saying that Narada is coming from Krishna.
Yeah, Brahma's in there too. All glories to Brahma.